Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the 14th day of Adar Beis, Tovshin Pei Beis. Masechta Demai, Perek Shishi, Mishnah Shishis. After learning in the previous Mishnah, which talks about a person who contracts to take over olive trees to produce oil, our Mishnah is now going to bring a machalikus, Vesham Vesil, as to selling olives. We're talking here about olives which are telushim, which are already plucked, already harvested, but they haven't yet come into contact with any of the seven liquids which are marshal lekabel tuma. So they're not rendered susceptible to receive tuma yet. When a person sells his olives, he's not allowed to sell it to anyone who's not a chaver. He can only sell it to a chaver. What's a chaver? That's a person who is careful with taros, with holy things, with pure things, and he's trusted that they're not tame. He's therefore, but he should not sell olives to a person who's not a chaver, like an Amoritz or other people, in case they will press these olives and make them in a state of tumah, impurity. Basil Alomir and Basil says, Aflama Aser. It's also permitted to sell olives to someone who just is trusted for Miser. Anyone who's just trusted about taking Miser, that would be right, even though he's not believed for Taros. We're not so confident in his ability to keep tumah and Tara as far as Taros is concerned, but if he gives Miser, we're happy with that. What's the reason Basil are lenient? They're lenient because there is an assumption here. We can assume that the buyer, who's not a chaver, is buying these olives for eating. And he'll eat them before they become usher lekabel tuma, before they come into contact with water, wine, oil, and all the other seven liquids. Before they become usher lekabel tuma. And even though most olives are not bought for human consumption, but they're made to make oil out of it. Nevertheless, since there is some sort of a sibba, some sort of an excuse to say that it's mutter to sell it to them because they're of the ones they are eating them, and it's not mushal lekabel tuma. For that reason, we can be lenient. Some of us learn that the machlokes, reason for the machlokes between Bisham and Sil, is at the heart of the argument, are you allowed to cause tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael? Chulin, ordinary produce. We're not talking about truma, we're not talking about asasheni. Ordinary produce. Is there a problem about making a tuma? Bisham says, yes, there is. You're not allowed to cause tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you can't sell olives to anyone who's not a chover, who's not trusted as far as tuma and tara. If you sell it to someone who's not a chaver, the fellow will make it tame when he's pressing them, because as soon as he presses them, liquid comes out. That is machshir the olives to be kabel tuma, and they're not trusted for tuma. Basil, however, hold that one is allowed to cause tuma to chulin in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it would be permitted to sell to even to someone who's only believed as far as maestros, even though he's not believed as far as tuma and tara. Says the Mishnah, and finally, Utsnue Beis Hillel, Hoyenogim Kedivre Beis Shammai. Those who were very meductic, those who were very anxious to do mitzvahs very, very carefully among the house of Hillel, would in this situation would follow the stringency of Beis Shammai and not sell their olives to anyone who was not a chaver. And this is to make sure that they don't run into these problems of they wanted to be machmer like Beis Shammai, and only sell their olives to a chaver. Mishnah Zayin. Shnayim shebotzuz karmeim l'soich gasachas. Two people harvesting their vines into one one grape press, right? And they gather harvesting into one big olive press, wine press. Echad ma'aser. One of these two partners, or one of these two harvesters, happens to take ma'aser. And he's trusted for it. And one who's not trusted as far as Maaser. We don't know. We have suspicions. Hamaaser, the person who is trusted, who takes Maaser, Maaser is Shaloi. He has to take Maaser, of course, of his own produce. But also, But in addition to taking Maaser of the grapes that grew in his vineyards, he also has to take Maaser v'chelkoi b'chol mokim shechol, and the portion of Maaser that would be relevant or that would be taken from his friend, from the other harvester's produce, wherever there is demai, chol mokim shu demai, meaning that he would have to take Maaser of half the wine that he is taking for his portion when they divide the wine from the wine press. Reason? Because we do not say that after they get their share, 50% of the wine, each one's getting what was his always. We don't say that. We don't say yesh brera. On the contrary, we say ein brera. Ein brera means we cannot say that now this wine or this chelek, this portion of wine that he's getting, it's retrospectively saying, we are retrospectively saying that it was always his. You can't do that. We don't say that ein brera in such a case. And therefore, we are worried that indeed what the portion of wine that he's got, half of it is really his and half of it was his friend's or from his friend's grapes. And since his friend is not trusted as far as Maestros is concerned, so therefore half of the wine that he's taking needs to be Maestred. And that's why Mishnah says he takes Maestro not only from his grapes that are growing in the vineyard, but also from the wine that gets produced pro rata, that is, half for him and he has to pay for the half of his friend. Now, there is an opinion that says when it comes to Dinim Drabonon, we say yesh brera. Yesh brera means we do say it's retrospectively it was his. But and demai is a din rabbanon. So why don't we say that? Nevertheless, our Mishnah seems to go according to the opinion that holds that even with matters of rabbanon, ein brera, we do not say, oh, it's huvra domar freya, that now that they're taking their half, it retrospectively was always their half. We don't say that. There are a number of ways of learning on the Mishnah. That's how the Yerushalmi learns our Mishnah.